Sometimes when we're wanting to sing that song and it's like, wait a minute, do I really want God to do this? Do I really want him to circumcise my heart? Do I really want to go through the fire? I said, because there's a cost. There is a cost, but it's a good cost. All those impurities, all those negative things that are in our lives and stuff, he's trying to draw that out so that we can become more like him. He's operating and working through us from the inside out. If you have your Bibles, open up to Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not. Can you put that projector on over there, back there, please? For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, fear not. Other versions say, do not fear. And I believe there's at least a do not fear in the word of God for every day of our lives. So who is with us? God. God's with us. God is with us. So why do we fear in any situation? This command was given in the middle of a rebellious nation. Now, can some of y'all agree that we're part in a rebellious nation right now against God? No doubt about it. And he's telling us, fear not. It wasn't just for them, it's for us today. Fear not, fear not. This command was given to believers. Not the wicked, not unbelievers. Unbelievers and believers aren't fearing. They operate through fear, but they're not fearing. I'm not trying to be all... Let me get back up here, maybe. Think about it. God is the creator of this world. He's all-powerful, all-sufficient, all-knowing, and is everywhere, and is on our side, and he has to tell us not to fear. That's crazy. He's not telling believers, he's not telling the wicked, he's telling us not to fear. Seems like they're being more empowered with fear than we are with faith. They're not afraid to speak up and speak out. So why should you? Why should you be afraid to speak up and speak out? They don't fear God. We have a reverential fear towards God, but they don't fear God at all. The world says there are multiple genders and they really want to teach you on what to call them. I don't need to learn that. I'm good. If your daddy named you John, I'm going to call you John. If your mama named you Susan, I'm going to call you Susan. I will love you. But you don't have to teach me all those genders. I don't need to know. In Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, male and female. There's two. When you die, and maybe if Jesus should tarry 100 years later or 1,000 years later, and they dig up your bones, they're going to identify you by two genders. Now, if you got wings on that, well, maybe he was a pterodactyl or something. I don't know. It's already been established. It's not something that needed to be reinvented. See, God is a creator, but Satan is a perverter. He will just pervert the things that God has already created. And then people have the audacity to push that upon our children, this nation. And that's the way it's been since the beginning of time. You have to stop lying to our children. You have to stop lying to these children. No wonder they're confused. God is not the author of confusion. Well, we're just going to let them choose what they want to be when they grow older. That choice has already been made by God and by the chromosomes of your parents. That's already been made. It's already been made. God knitted you in your mother's womb. It's already been made. Already dealt with. Now, if they want to go home and act different, by all means. But when you're trying to tell somebody else, this is what they're supposed to be, that's different. God is not confused, and he knows who he is, and our responsibility is not to lie to each other. See, in Colossians 3, 9 through 10, it says, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. So when you believe in Jesus and you're taking off that old nature and putting on the new one, the new nature that you are putting on is the image of God. No true believer of Jesus should ever be pushing it. It's okay to be that way in the body or at school. No true believer. No true believer can say that's okay. They bid on something that wasn't actually the truth. Okay? Again, whatever they do at home is their business. You can make believe all you want. Seriously, I mean, you can be Peter Pan at home. But when you bring that mess into the school systems and force people who have the new nature on to believe a lie, that's demonic. And that's the way our culture has normalized demon activity. They basically want you to be demonized. Seriously. They're not trying to hide it anymore. The enemy knows that Jesus is coming back soon. He ain't trying to hide it. He knows he's got a short time. He ain't trying to hide it. So here's the thing. So where is the manifestations of the sons of God? All of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Fear not, for God is with you, not them. God is with you. He's not with them. He's with you. Fear not. He is with you. Say that with me. God is with me. God is with me. I know him, and he knows me, and he is with me. Come on now. You can't have people distracting from meaningless tasks that takes away from your relationship with God and with the kingdom agenda. So where is the church? Where is that fearless faith? Romans 8:19, it says, I am convinced, this is the Passion Translation, that any suffering we endure is less nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. That's not something we can force ourselves. But to be a son or daughter, you have to believe what Jesus has done for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. But all of creation is waiting to see what's already been truly living in us all this time. They're waiting for the manifestation. And it won't be complete until Jesus comes, until we get that glorified body. But the whole world is waiting to see the manifestations of his sons and daughters. Boy, that's exciting right there. You got to have that fearless faith. You can't be afraid to say something when you know it's true. The enemy does not like the truth at all. Does not like the truth in him. Does not like it. Isaiah 35:4 says this. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. Didn't y'all used to sing this way back in the day? Say to those who are fearful and hearted. See, when Jesus was here the first time, he came to save men's lives, not to destroy them or take vengeance on them. He said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives. Remember, when they were wanting to call down fire from heaven because they did not want to they wanted Jesus to stay, but they didn't because he was going to Jerusalem and they wanted him to stay a little longer like he did the first time and he couldn't. He had to go to Jerusalem. He had to be in the Father's house. So they dismissed him. No, you can't stay here. And they were ready to call down fire from heaven. He says, No, no, no. You don't know what manner of spirit you're of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. See, but the next time Jesus comes back, there's going to be vengeance. There's going to be vengeance. And he will come and save his children. It's never good for those who come against the children of God. That's never going to be a good thing. So fear not, God is with you. Fearless faith is when you have nothing but a few crumbs for you and your child. And the prophet of God is telling you, give me some. This is just for me and my kid, but give me some. See, when Elijah was there and he sent him ahead, the Lord sent him ahead and said, I commanded a widow to feed you. Think about that. Your last few crumbs, you don't have much, and now all you have is just a little oil, a little dough to make some bread, and this is for me and my son because we're getting ready to die. No, you don't have to do all that, but just give me some. That takes fearless faith. God, can I trust you with this last bread in my life? And we know what happened. After he ate, go and get some. Go borrow all the jugs and jars and every which. Go borrow one. How much oil you got left? And pour it until you can't pour no more, until there's no more jars left. And they were able to use all that to be able to buy back everything that they lost. Fearless faith will get you down to that little bit, and you can still trust God with it. What are you going to do with that little bit that you have? The widow with two mites, she gave all that she had. She didn't fear. She gave it to God. Why? Because she knew she can trust him. Fearless faith. Fearless faith says, yes, sir, I'll do it. Would you like some water with that? You want some water with that bread? You want some water? See, fear will keep you from being creative. And fear will also keep you from being productive on your job or in your homes. So why do we allow it in our lives? And sometimes we want to snuggle up with it. Get our comforter, get our Snuggie. And nobody got a Snuggie, do they? Who got a Snuggie in here? Got a hood on and stuff. Mary, I should have said your name. I'm sorry. But it's a Snuggie. It's not fear. It's not fear. See, sometimes it's just an everyday thing for everybody else. Okay? And people will tell you just to take a nap. Elijah took that nap. Remember when Jezebel, after he just got through slaughtering, I'm telling you, God was on display for Elijah. And Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. Elijah ran out of that city to the next town of Beersheba, left his servant there, then went into the wilderness. And he was tired and he took a nap. Angel of the Lord woke him up, gave him some food. There was some bread on a hot stone and a jar of water. Eat. Ate, got his grub on, went right back to sleep again, took a nap. Angel got him up again. Come on, eat some more. The journey's long. And what God had supplied for him was enough for him to make a 40-day journey, 40-day and 40-night journey. See, the thing is, some people will say, take a nap, but, you know, the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane took a nap and they got scolded for it. So you got to know when to take a nap. Because God may be saying, hey, stay up with me, pray for a little while. I need you to pray. Don't take a nap. But then he's over here saying, you need to take a nap. Take a nap, rest. So it's important to listen to what the Lord is saying in every situation. See, the moral of the story is the enemy isn't really impressed with all the miracles that you can or cannot do. He's not impressed. What he fears is the word of God. What he fears is God. And what he fears is your relationship with God. Because it isn't just about you knowing about God. Anybody can know about God and not do anything. But do you really know? When you truly know God, that's eternal life. When you truly know God, Psalms 91. Come on, read it with me. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Come on, say it with some bass in your voice. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So tell me again why we fear. You should never fear anything else in you again, ever in your life again. Well, just by that scripture? No, by the many of scriptures that are in the Word, not just by that one passage of scripture. We've been doing this too long. We've been in a relationship too long to fear anything that comes. Doctor says something, I hear you, Doc, but I believe by his stripes I am healed. I know what you're saying, you have to say it, but this is a report I'm believing. I'm believing a good report. You're saying this has to be this way? There was a young man that I had a... Basically, I mean, he was telling me that he had to live with depression. Depression is something that he always has to live with. He talked to the wrong person. Because I wasn't going with that. There's a good report here. Guess what? To this day, he's free of depression. And he's actually helping other people with mental illnesses themselves. What do you have to live with? What do you have to fear? Absolutely nothing. Take it on. Hey, meet him out there just like David met Goliath. You don't run away. Elijah ran away. Jehu came in. Meet it head on. No matter what kind of situation you're facing, meet it head on. See, when you are in a boat with Jesus, you're going to get wet. You're going to get soaked. You're going to get hated on. You're going to be lied on. You can expect all these things that happen to Jesus, they will happen to you. That's a given. But fear not, for God is with you. Fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God will not fail his people. I've heard people say, well, God failed me. Whoa. God never failed you. He's never failed you. You failed you. Well, I was wanting to do this. Key word, you were wanting. God was wanting this for you. You wanted this. You went after this, and it failed. God never failed you because you still got to get back over here. His ways are higher than ours. God will never fail you. His footsteps, your footsteps are ordered by the Lord. If you choose not to walk in that, that's on you. Don't go in that closet. There's a boogeyman. Well, I think I can do it. And then you run out stark naked. Told you not to do it. Remember when the seven sons of Sceva was trying to cast out those demons? They didn't have a relationship with Jesus. That was the reason. They did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They didn't really know him. They knew about him. That's why the demon said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Are we truly walking in the will of God? Because God will never fail us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He will never fail us. His love never fails in any situation. So if we're trying to force the situation on other people, I'm telling you, you're going to fail. It's going to be tough. It will be more difficult than you ever imagined. And I'm going to help some people out. This is what I have to learn. Control what you can control. And I understand that's tough. But if you can learn to control what you can control, you won't feel as frustrated as you are in life. So we have to stop blaming God when you choose not to do his will. If God truly failed you, here's the thing. This whole world will self-destruct. Literally. If he failed you. This whole world will self-destruct because his whole world is held together by the integrity of his word. And he exalts his word even above his own name. So God can't fail you. He can't fail us. So it doesn't matter what goes on in your life. If that relationship doesn't work out, if that marriage doesn't work out, if that marriage fails, if you don't get that big promotion you've been expecting, are you still going to serve God? Will you still serve God? Maybe that closed door that he just closed was something because there was other things that was working behind the scenes and you didn't even know it, but God did. He knows everything that's going down. And he was keeping you from that. He was shielding you from that. What about when your kids get cut from the team? Man, people lose their mind over that one. It's just a sport. That's all it is. Your relationship with Jesus is far more important. And there's probably nobody in here is probably more of a sport head than I am. Like playing it, not now. My wife says, you know, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, but when do they play again? I don't know. Who are they playing this week? I really can't tell you. If it's on, it's on. If I watch it, I'll watch it, and I'll watch it for about a quarter, and that's about it. Third down and two, you want to go long? I'm done. Run the ball, Jack. I'm not going to get frustrated over it unless they're playing the Chiefs or something. It's just a game. But when you do things, do it as you would unto the Lord. Go all out. Why half? You know, some coaches say that. Why give a half effort, half-hearted effort? Boy, I caught myself on that one. Doesn't know. No, that's why. You got to understand. Here's the thing. God's got it. So let go and let God get it. He's got it. He's in control. He's got that situation that you've been stressing about, that you've been crying over, that you've been yelling at. He's got it. He's got the answer. It's just whether or not we can accept the answer. And sometimes we can't. But we should never, ever fix our mouth to say that God failed me, because he won't. That's how loving and compassionate our God is. Fear is trying to control every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. How fearful was that woman who had the issue of blood? But she had fearless faith. She risked her whole life. I mean, 12 years of bleeding. She risked her whole life to do that, to step in between the crowd and touch the hem. Fearless faith. Fearless faith will have you going against religious leaders, crying out to God, Son of David. Fearless faith. Crazy faith. I love crazy faith too. But we're talking about fearless faith. Let me talk a little bit about crazy faith. Crazy faith will have you cut a hole in the house and lower your friend down in order to see Jesus. You need some friends like that. They want to see you healed. True friends will want to see you healed and delivered, set free, what have you. Crazy faith. Fearless faith. There's nothing in this world that will intimidate you. Nothing can ever intimidate you. You're a child of God. And no one is, I mean, is as dumb as Satan to influence other people in order to come against you. Fearless faith. You ain't got to lose any sleep over it ever again. Somebody attacking you, you don't have to lose any sleep over it. God's got it. He sees it. He knows it. He's got it. So you don't ever have to retaliate, because the second coming, Jesus is coming with a vengeance. He's going to wage war. And guess what? He's going to win. He's going to win. You get excited about, you know, people get fearful. I say, in the last days, men's hearts will fail them. But you know what? It doesn't have to fail, because God is with us. Be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. For God is with you. He will save his children. And he's coming with vengeance. Fearless faith. Every single morning, load up your slingshot with the word, spiritually speaking. Every single morning, soon as somebody says something sideways, you got the word, you're ready to go. Fearless faith. People don't like character development. But you know what? Every character development is an opportunity to operate in that faith. Every time you have that opportunity to, man, I just got to walk in love. I got to take the high road or what have you. I said, it's just another opportunity to trust in God. If it's out of your control, give it to him. Give it to him. He can do it a whole lot better than you can. Give it to him. God, I'm giving you my kids. I said, well, what's wrong with them? They out of their mind. They ain't listening to me. They ain't listening to their mom. They ain't listening to us. You know, not my kids. My kids, our kids are pretty good. Our kids are pretty good. I didn't lose hardly any sleep with them. They were really good. We raised them right. But fearless faith. We'll take on that situation. Trust in God more. Trust in his word. And trust in that he's going to turn everything around, turn your situation around. Regardless of what happened to you, God is going to work it for your good. To those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. So don't just go out there by yourselves. You go on with him because he is with you. Fearless faith. You're afraid to talk on your job, say something to voice your opinion? Fearless faith. You're going to have to say it, because sometimes they need to hear the truth. Fearless faith. Be bold about it. You can be nice. You can speak the truth in love. I've still yet to perfect that. But you can speak the truth in love. You need to learn how to do it. Hang around with Belinda. Fearless faith. Fearless faith says no to culture and yes to Jesus. Amen. So what is God telling you today? Is he telling you to hold on for dear life, or is he telling you to let go and trust him in this? Can he trust you? Can he trust you with the finances that he's given you? That he's given you the ability to gain wealth. Can he trust you in that? Can you give back to him? You know, I know people say, well, you know, what they tithe way back in the day, it was just herbs and spices. That's what they were required to. I don't have a garden. Who has a garden in here? I said, Vicky may take some more seeds. But can God trust you with what he has given you? Can he trust you with your finances? Can he trust you to be able to make that decision and be and sow into the kingdom? Can he trust you? Fearless faith. The widow with the mites gave everything she had. And yet all these guys who had an abundance gave out of their abundance, and it still wasn't enough. It didn't please God because they weren't trusting in him. They were trusting in their own riches. Fearless faith. Today we have an opportunity to sow. You know, in every season of my life, since we started sowing, I've never stopped sowing. We've never stopped sowing. My wife went on first, Kristen went on first, and then I caught on. Because I know there's going to be a season where we're going to need what we sowed. We're going to need an abundance. We're going to need a harvest. So I don't ever stop sowing. Farmers don't ever stop sowing. They're expecting something in the fall. They're expecting something in the summer. They're going to have to. How often do y'all sow? You plant Milo and stuff too? You do that in the fall? You harvest it in the fall? Yeah. So when do you plant it? In the spring. And then that's clockwork, right? What do you harvest in the summer? Wheat. Anything in the spring? Do you harvest anything in the spring? Not really? Okay. Well, you're just giving just to get. No. No, but there are laws. Just in the natural, there's laws of reciprocity. Just in the natural. You give love, you're going to receive love. You give advice, you're going to receive advice. You give knowledge, you're going to. There's laws of reciprocity there. When you give financially, there's laws of reciprocity. You're giving just to get? No, I don't give just to get. I give so I can give. So I can give. So I can give. You don't ever stop giving. Sometimes you can give too much. I get that. But when the Spirit led, it don't matter. So we're getting ready to receive the offerings. And we're also taking up an offering for the men's bathroom because we need to finish that out. And I would like to get that finished this week, if possible, before we start filling up this place. Huh?
I said, I want to tell you, you need to be nice to your loving wife.
Be nice to my loving wife. Okay, I'll remember that. Thank you, Darlene. Ushers, you can come on for it. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this offering that we're getting ready to receive, Lord. And we thank you that we don't have to give out of fear, Lord. We're giving in faith. And whatever we give, we know that you will bless that back to us so that we can continue to give and be a blessing to those who you have called us to impact in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for being a vessel for you, Lord, a channel that you can flow through. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.